When you let goodness show, when you let kindness show, when you let the love of God show, other people who are not walking it, it begins to show how dark their darkness is.
Can be a light for your family and to others around you in times of darkness. Find out how on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Gloria Copeland and the Copeland Girls continue their Mother's Day special teaching.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory, and it's a special broadcast all this week because the girls are together again.
That's
the Copeland
right.
Girls. Mm-hmm. And since I am one of the Copeland Girls in training, I got to open the broadcast today.
Yes,
I'm Terry Pearson.
Well,
thank you very much. That's good. I'm getting a check plus so far. And my sister, Kelly Copeland Swisher. And then, of course, our matriarch and queen and wonderful example, Gloria Copeland. And then Marty Copeland, who's married to my brother, John, and we all have wonderful respect for her and love and adoration. Praise the Lord. You know,
That's
we've
right.
been talking this week about the Great Awakening and the Great Awakening that we're believing for our nation. But God doesn't wake up a nation. He wakes up people.
That's exactly
He wakes
right.
up individuals.
They wake up the
that
nation.
Make up, that's right. And, you know, you have a choice. You can be awakened, or you can awaken yourself to God.
Amen.
And, of course, He helps you.
Anytime you can do that.
Anytime. And we don't have to wait to be shaken out of a sleep.
That's right.
But we can awaken to God. And it's so much more pleasant and wonderful to just turn to the Lord and awake to Him. And He helps us. And you know what? It pleases Him more.
Amen.
If it pleased Him more to shake everybody and wake them up, we'd have that all the time.
That's right.
But it pleases Him for us to choose and to awake to Him. We've been talking about, we started a lot on it yesterday, about the love of God and how the love of God is what motivates us to awaken. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you think, well, I don't know, pray more, that sounds good, but I'm just not sure I could do that. I don't have time. Well, then you need to check your love walk. You need to check the love of God, your love level that's working in your life. And if you do that, you'll probably find out that it's not where it ought to be. And that means that we need to get a fill up where our love walk and our love,
we have to
where
stay
our love life.
Filled up.
And my son is a youth pastor, our church, and he has a message that he does for the kids called How's Your Love Life? Of course, that perks their ears right up. They want to know about their love life. Well, it's not what you think. It's talking about the love of God in your life and letting that direct the course of your life. When you are walking in love towards God, then love towards others is an inevitable byproduct of that, and you just continually awaken more and more and more to the really wonderful things about walking with God. And we found that Ephesians chapter 5 really summarizes all of that up for us.
I'm still waking up. Are you?
I'm still waking up.
Oh, God wakes me up nearly every day with some scripture.
He said He wakens us morning by morning.
That's exactly right.
It's wonderful to wake up that way. Anyway, let's see. I'm in Romans, and I meant to be in Ephesians. If you have your Bible, I suggest that you look it up in Ephesians chapter 5. It's not enough just to hear somebody else talk about it, but let your eyes fall on the page as well. So Ephesians chapter 5, now it's really the whole chapter. It's a wonderful chapter, but since our broadcast is only 25, 30 minutes here, we didn't have time to read through each one of those. But if you're serious about this, I recommend that you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a little homework for you and just went through and quickly summarized this entire, the points of this chapter. But let's do read this first verse. It says, be imitators of God. Copy Him. Follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. They imitate mm-hmm. their father. They'll imitate their mother. Children will imitate whatever's That's put right. in front of them. We talked about that yesterday. And the only way you can be a good example for your family or anyone else is to follow God, because that is the example, not just of being what do what's right, but God's not hurting. God's very well off. God's not undisturbed. You know, he's not disturbed about the world's economic crisis, very well aware of it and able to handle it. But he's not upset about it. He's not shocked by it. He knows what to do. So this be an example by following the example is a good place to start in our lives as a motivation. But now I just want to quickly go through these. You can sort of follow along in your Bible, but I want to just summarize what each verse is saying so we can get the picture of it. And then we'll, until we get down to verse 14. But verse 1 says, imitate God. Verse 2 says, by walking in love. Verse 3, so stay away from immorality and greediness. Let there be no obscenity or coarse talk, because that is idolatry. To give yourself over to obscene things, to give yourself over, to just sit in front of the television and watch anything, to just talk about anything, to be crude in your conversation, yeah. to be harsh in your conversation. It's not just dirty talk. It's anything that talks apart from the love of God. Bible calls that coarse talking.
And you know, in my lifetime and in your adult lifetime, you can see the difference. People talk so badly. They curse every other breath. Natural people have no vocabulary almost. They just do from one curse to the next. Well, it hasn't always been that way. It's gotten worse, you know, as time has gone by. People, men used to be very careful not to speak those words in front of women, even if they did it in private by themselves. But you can sit down in a restaurant and you can hear all that stuff. And we have to guard against that. You can't just, if you listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, first thing you know, you'll be saying it. So it's, I feel like it's very, very important in our time right now, in this generation, that we stand against those things. Mm-hmm. And I mean avidly stand against coarse talk. We don't do that in Jesus' name.
You know, we can practice his presence in that when you sit down to the TV and you say, Lord, are you enjoying this?
Oh, yeah.
Ask him. He'll let you know if he's enjoying it or if, well, and if you don't hear anything, maybe he left.
And another, what does he like? What does God like to watch on TV besides the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast?
Good now. Preaching.
What does he like to
But
watch?
Here's what you got to remember about obscene. Your mouth. What goes in your eyes and your ears gets into
That's
your heart.
Right.
And what gets in your heart comes out your mouth. So you need to avoid hearing that as much as possible. Now, if you're in a family, you know, some of your family does that, there's nothing you can do about it, then you just guard against it. Guard yourself. And don't let those things come into you and on you just because people around you are doing it. It is a curse, is a curse. And, and you know, there's a scripture in Psalm 10, I think, and it says, they love cursing, let them wear it like a garment. That just shakes me for this generation. Mm-hmm. They loved cursing, let them wear it like a garment. Anyway, that's my soapbox for the day, Terry. Go ahead.
Well, and this chapter goes on to talk more about that and about how what we can do that'll bring light or cause other people to be awakened to that. Some of them, honestly, have come to the place they hardly know any better because they're surrounded
That's
with
right.
it. The bar has been lowered
Absolutely.
To such a low degree. I just want to tell a little example, and this will, I think, be a blessing to you. When back in many, many moons ago, my first really important, significant job here in the ministry was in the television as we started the BVOV. My job was the producer for this broadcast. And at that time, it was very unusual to find women in television in much capacity other than maybe some sort of clerical aspect or cue cards or something. But to find a woman producer or director was pretty unusual. And so I did. There were not a lot of women around us. And on our crew, You just didn't come across it. In fact, there weren't very many Christians in television at the time. And so for the first year and a half or 2 years, we actually had, our crew was often a secular. Mixture. It was secular, sometimes totally secular, except for myself. When we first started, and then over the years, we found more and more Christians to come to work. But this was back in the late 70s and then into the early 80s. Well, of course, I was so young, and for people to respect me, men, to respect me, and especially union hands and so forth, and they'd say, "Who's in charge around here?" And in my little voice, I'd say, "I am," and they'd blow smoke in my face and laugh. I had them everything grab me around the throat. I've had them threaten me, all
sure,
sorts of.
You never told me. I would have dealt with
them. I know, you would have gotten them. Then they would have known. But over that time, I'm looking for a place of respect in order to get my job done. So somebody take me seriously. I began to try to act like one of the guys. And so
How did you like cigars?
I didn't care. But I didn't do that. And I didn't go that far. But, you know, even in our own crew and so forth, they started to treat me like one of the guys. I carried my own luggage. All kinds of things happened to me. And but the respect didn't come.
That didn't do it.
Didn't help, no. And so I went along like that for a while, and it was frustrating to me. And so Doug, your brother, he came and talked to me, and he said, "I know you're struggling with this." And he said, "I think you need to quit trying to be one of the guys, but you need to picture yourself the same way and carrying yourself the same way Gloria does. Can you imagine some guy saying something off color with her in the room?"
I said, "Well, I've never heard this story."
I said, "No, I can't imagine that anybody would." And he said, "It's not because she had to tell him not to, but she carries a presence with her. It's a very feminine presence. She is who she is, and there's godliness about her." So I really set myself to follow that example. It wasn't just an outward example. There's outward things that accompany it. But I began to see myself differently on the inside. Just within myself, I thought, I am above that behavior.
Yes.
That behavior is beneath who I am. Not that I look down on them, but I don't have to be
that's
that way.
Right.
I'm not going to be like that. And I began to see myself, and I didn't ever have to put somebody down or fuss at someone. Now, there were times when we had to make some adjustments among those that actually worked for me. And we was like, we don't talk like that. You know, if you come to work like that again, we'll have to find somebody to replace you. And we began to implement some of those things. But as far as just our crew and the people around me, it didn't even take very long as I began to let the outside look and act and carry what was actually on the inside.
That's good.
And that began to change, and it really set me free to be who I am. I quit trying to be like them. So when, as believers, we quit trying to be like the world in
That's
order
right.
to get the respect of the world, because actually they'll disrespect you even
That's
more.
True.
Especially if you're a Christian and you're acting like the world.
Then you don't belong anywhere, and you don't get the respect of anyone. But to be who we are, to be the love of God, this chapter goes on. He says in verse 6, "Don't be fooled. Because the wrath of God will come on the rebellious. So stay away from rebellious people," verse 7. Verse 8, "Because you are in the light, and you are of the light." And verse 9, it says, "The effect or the product of the light is kindness. And be a constant proof of this," in verse 10. So in other words, let that love of God, follow God, be like God. Don't be afraid to be like God. And
That's
you
right.
begin to walk in the light of His love and be that light. Then verse 11 says, don't take any part of the darkness.
That's right.
Because you need to let your light show how dark the darkness is. When you let goodness show, when you let kindness show, when you let the love of God show, other people who are not walking that, it begins to show how dark their darkness is. There are other verses that back that up.
That's right.
Well, this New Living says that the light in you produces only good, right, and true. So it produces that thing you want.
Yeah.
When you walk
in, your hunger for.
In what's on the inside of you.
Verse 13, don't even talk about what they do in darkness. Don't honor that. Don't pay any attention to it. That was verse 12. Verse 13, when the light hits their darkness, they will see.
That's a good way to say it, isn't it? When it says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Mm-hmm. When the light hits their darkness,
they'll see.
That's good. I like that. That's
but
true.
You have to
that's
be.
Right.
The light is always there, but people are blinded to the light of God. They're not looking for God that they know of, but they can't help but see Him when they come in contact with you, when you're imitating Him.
Walking in love.
So, He says, awake to this wonderful product of righteousness. Awake to living righteously. Awake to the light, which is the love of God. Let love motivate you. Let righteous living not be a, you got to do it this way, but rather wake up to this, that this, that the love of God, this is a product of the kindness of God. And then He says, pay attention to how you live. And the Lord impressed me with this the other day. And I was meditating on humility. And He said, one of the greatest demonstrations of pride is to assume that you are humble. Mm. And to think, I don't need that. I'm humble. And that just to assume that you are one of the greatest, that's the most greatest level of pride. And I thought,
I'm
guilty.
We don't want to hear that.
I'm guilty. So He says, pay attention to how you live. You have to make an effort.
That's right.
You have to analyze. You have to judge. You have to let the Holy Spirit shine some, let Him shine His light on you so that you can see your own darkness and get rid of it. And He says, live purposefully, worthily, and accurately because these days are evil. So take every opportunity to know and do the will of God. And how do you do that? He says, don't be drunk with wine, but get drunk on the Holy Ghost.
Go for the things of God.
This is not a boring way to live. Are you bored with your Christian life?
Not at all.
I'm so satisfied.
Can't even imagine living any other way.
We have fun.
We do.
We have fun. Sometimes the richness of it can weigh so heavy. It's almost, you know, sometimes you eat something that's so rich that just a little dab will do you. The richness of the goodness of God can weigh so heavy on you that it just overtakes
peace
your heart
peace.
And the joy of it and the thrill of knowing that our kids are walking with God. I mean, a little thing like my daughter's dog jumped off the balcony the other day, a little puppy. She's just a little thing.
Second floor balcony.
The second floor balcony. And makes me want to cry. And Aubrey heard her crying. Ran down the stairs and said, Mom, I wasn't even careful. Scooped her up off the ground and just held her up tight. Little thing was conscious but not moving. And Aubrey just caught her up and said, Mom, I was pleading the blood of Jesus, thanking God for her life, and just praying over her and held her until little Roxy just all of a sudden perked up. And
she woke up.
Well, she woke up and just started playing.
Praise God.
Aubrey, she was going to take her to the vet. It was time for her to get her next little puppy shot. So she just went ahead and took her. They checked her and said, this is amazing that there's absolutely nothing wrong with this dog. After the second story, fell off the balcony. And so when you live like that, that even your little puppy.
Now, why was she able to do that? Because you and George had lived the Word of God before her.
And we were able to do that because you had.
And they saw you do. She saw how you handle things. And she didn't have to think about it. She didn't have to think, well, let me get my list here and see what I'm supposed to do.
No.
That was in her heart. That was a natural
response
of a lifetime. It hadn't been all that. How old is Aubrey?
22.
22 years of watching the Word of God work.
And she said she grabbed that little dog up and then Roxy was okay. And she's bouncing all over the yard. So Aubrey got her and put her in her little kennel. She said, Mom, I just got down on my face and said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You care. You care about me. You care about my little dog. You care about my life. And it marked her. It marked her.
She responded in faith.
And then she goes to the vet and is a light to everybody around her that we had a miracle that this little puppy was just fine. Hallelujah. So,
my Jesus.
This is worth it.
Oh, my.
It's worth it to watch your mouth. Who would want that mess? You know, when you think about what people are saying when they're cussing.
They're cursed.
Who would want that in their mouth?
No.
It's a nasty thing in your mouth that way.
That's right.
Little things like that.
You don't want it in your mouth and you don't want it in your life.
No.
It's a good, what people say when they're cursing is a good description of what the curse does in your life.
Yeah, that's right.
People, but think about this little puppy. Let's say that little puppy wasn't in a household like Aubrey and Cody's, but it was in another kind of household, and it makes a mess on the carpet, and somebody says, spits out a curse on that dog, and then want to go pray and ask the Lord to heal it after you've cursed it and cursed it and cursed it. That's that double, doesn't work, that kind of life, that kind of mouth doesn't work.
This was with a dog. Aubrey and Cody don't have children yet. But it would have been no different if it had been a child in a life-and-death
situation. Happens every day. Mm-hmm.
The faith of God, the love of God would have risen up in her just like that.
And it has. We've proven that.
Yes,
every one of us
has. Right. There have been emergency situations
multiple
in this family. And the faith of God and the Word of God has brought us through incurable, impossible situations. We'll be right back.
So when they see you acting a certain way or being a certain way, and your attitude or your life appeals to them, they're going to come to you. You don't necessarily have to get in their face and say, well, my life is good because I do this, or I preach every day, or I pray every day, or I go to church every Sunday and Wednesday. They'll notice that themselves.
When I get hurt, or when I'm discouraged, I'm going, okay, God, tell me what I need to do. And, you know, it really always leads back to the love. You strengthen yourself, I believe, with the love. There's nothing like it.
We're called to create relationships with them. And in that relationship, yes, we can speak, but just our actions will show people, man, there's a God, He's living on the inside of us. And for me personally, that's how I believe that I can help other people be awakened to God. It's just the relationships I build with them.
When your life is filled with questions, it's not easy to let go and let God take over in every area. But no matter your age, your background, your past, or your current circumstances, living a godly life with purpose is within your reach. In her trademark inspiring style, Gloria Copeland gives you the 10 keys to finding your destiny. Embark on a study that will change the course of your life with any one of these three resources. God's Master Plan for Your Life, the New York Times bestseller by Gloria Copeland. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, the video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, and God's Master Plan for Your Life, an abridged audiobook read by Gloria Copeland. Each of these study tools is designed to help you discover and connect with God's Master Plan for Your Life. Find real answers to real life questions from a real God. Order your God's Master Plan for Your Life products at a special price, just $12 for the book, $49.95 for the video curriculum with interactive workbook and journal, and $22 for the audiobook on CD. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online, or call toll-free 800-575-4455. God's plan is exciting and available for you to receive. Find out what He has planned for you today.
You know, that little story about Aubrey's little puppy, Roxy, shows how much God loves how much God will even love a little puppy. Jesus said he even cares about the sparrows, and how much more you are worth to Him than the birds and the little dogs and all the animals. You mean a lot to Him.
That's right.
But until you accept Jesus, the gift of God to you, Jesus is a gift of God to you. And if you don't accept it, then you're turning away His love. You can't see His love working in your life. Jesus is the expressed love of God to you. Don't turn it away. Don't push it away. But open your heart and invite him in. Receive the gift of love from God to you, Jesus, his son. We're going to pray with you right now. If you've never done that, maybe you just assumed you had. Maybe you assumed because you went to church once or because you're in America or some other nation that claims to be Christian. That's not good enough.
That's right.
You need to receive the love that God has for you, especially you, by asking Jesus into your heart. So we're going to pray, and I want you to pray along with me. And just say this, oh God in heaven.
Oh God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
And that you sent him for me.
And that you sent him for me.
You gave him for me.
You gave him for me.
He bore my sin.
He bore my sin.
Paid the price.
Died.
But you raised him from the dead. And you have given me his life. Jesus, come into my life. I make you my Lord right now. I am a Christian.
I am a Christian.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. Amen. Now, you need to learn more about that. That's not the end.
Right.
That's the beginning of knowing the love of God and growing in that love to where you know it more than you know anything else. And we want to help you with that by sending all this little package to you. We call it the Salvation Package. And all you have to do is request that. Just let us know that you prayed that prayer with us. And if you'll do that, then we'll be glad to send you these little books, easy read books. But my goodness, by the time you finish these books,
it took me years to learn all that.
And you can get it in a short time just by getting these books, and the information that you need is there on the screen.
And it's free.
It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. So
we'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this,
Jesus is Lord.
If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package online when you log on to our website at kcm.org. Take hold of the promises of God and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see this presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out, because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to the 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.